a real deal. I'll shoot your liver out and hand it to you.
Rob, I'm sad. I don't want to be married anymore. Tell me everything's going to be okay.
No, it's not going to be.
Eugene, tell me everything's going to be okay.
Everything's going to be okay.
See?
She doesn't listen to this podcast.
She does listen to this podcast. That's the fun part about it. Rob.
Yes, sir.
How's it going?
Are we on?
We're on, yeah.
We're on the air. Well, hey, here we go. I'd like to welcome everybody. All our four listeners this week, every one of you individually, to our newest and next podcast. We are excited to turn this podcast into controversy. Like, is it better to be married to a pool table than a woman? What do you think? What do you think, man? How about you, Nate? You newly married devil, you.
Don't know. I haven't had all of my freedoms.
Well, let's ask Alicia. Where is she?
Alicia, you want to come in and be on the podcast?
She said no, didn't she?
I don't know. I'm hoping she comes in because I kind of want a glass of wine.
Oh, here we go. We're talking pool.
Oh, she
now.
Came in. Oh, what was the question, Rob?
Yes. The question was, any prenups did you guys have? Did you?
Oh, come on, Rob. That wasn't the question. Now you're changing the question.
No,
can I have wine?
No, you don't have to. So the new bride, welcome to the podcast.
Rob says, hello, new bride. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
Meow.
That was the cat. But she meow. Also said hi.
Yes, I heard her.
Well, it's exciting.
That's so sweet. We're going to talk a little pool tonight?
I suppose we
probably... New insights into a very old game.
We probably should do a little talking about pool, huh? I suppose we can get stuff cleared up in the beginning first, though, because that's what we got to do.
Stuff. Okay, clear it up.
So a couple weeks ago, I kind of did a call to arms for the fans, asking for your help to help get the word out for the podcast. We are still less than a year old, and we're still growing kind of quickly. We're still getting new listeners seemingly every week. I kind of asked for all of the listeners out there to help kind of grow the podcast a little bit more by, you know, sharing or, you know, just telling people about it or all that good stuff. And I noticed that a lot of people actually did do it. And I saw that kind of by accident. So some of the people I saw are actually my friends on Facebook. So I would just happen to come across their stuff on Facebook or whatever reason somebody tags the podcast and then I'll see the post that way. But I want to actually try to do something for the people who are helping. And I was thinking about this, and I decided that it would be a good idea to have some sort of contest slash drawing, I guess. And what I came up with was I actually have a Moscone Cup magazine from the actual Moscone Cup this year in Vegas, and I was able to get it signed by all of Team USA. So what I'm going to do is during the month of February, every time you share the podcast and tag the podcast, because I got to be able to see it. So tag the podcast, tag the queued up podcast name, and create a post sharing anything podcast related. And every time that you do that, you will be entered in one time to a drawing that will be taking place at the end of February. First place for that will be that magazine with all of the U.S. player signatures. Second place will be a free t-shirt, and third place will be a free patch. So, not crazy big things, but just something to show that I do truly appreciate all of the listeners out there who are trying to help us with our expansion. So, that will be going on through the month of February, basically whenever this podcast gets released and you hear this, from there on out. So, if you want to be in this, just tag the podcast on any posts that you share, whether they are podcast, whether they're the podcasts themselves, or whether they are any of the phenomenal posts that Eugene does. Eugene, thank you for your work.
You're quite welcome. And yeah, that sounds like a pretty good grand prize there of the signed Moscone Cup program.
Yes. Yes. Those will be those will be available for anybody who is willing to participate, just as a kind of a thank you from us to you. Hey, Rob, Alicia just brought me wine.
You can say anything you want now.
Holy that's a lot of wine. Wow, that's a big pour. I'm happy. She brought me in like a half a gallon of wine, and it makes me happy. Ooh, I do have one other really exciting bit of information that I forgot to say. We actually have patches now. Yeah, I got in 300 patches. So if anybody out there would like a patch, you can reach out to the podcast or me personally on Facebook. They do cost, I'm going to charge $5 for them, which is pretty standard for a patch. And I know it's, you know, some people don't like paying for patches, and I don't like paying for patches either. You can look at it as if you enjoy the podcast and you enjoy listening to the podcast, this is a small way that you can give back to the podcast for all of the entertainment that you get out of this or whatever you want to call it. I guess I'm kind of advertising now, seemingly. But so if anybody wants a patch, I will do, they are $5 a peach. Piece, and that is $5 shipped if I need to ship them. So $5 if you would like a patch, and they look really, really, really good. So if anybody wants one of those, reach out to me or the podcast and let me know. Other than that, I have a couple more big announcements coming up in the coming weeks as far as what the podcast is going to go in for a new direction. But I still need to get a couple of my ducks in a row. Nothing big as far as like drastic changes. We'll have a couple different formats to the podcast, a couple things that we'll try out to see if they are liked. And if they're not, we'll just scrap them. But most of the things are going to be pretty uneventful as far as changing big things for the podcast. So with that, we can start with our shout outs. Rob, do you want to start first with the shout out?
The shout-out this week, and I want to repeat one because I told him I would, is Dr. Mark Wheaton. He is a specialist in sports and pain medicine. His office is in Minnetonka, Minnesota. Mark T. Wheaton, he's an MD, and he practices proliferation therapy. And if you've got chronic pain somewhere in your body, this will fix it. It'll take the pain away. So look them up. That's my shout out.
All right. Would you like to go second, Eugene?
Sure. So I will continue to give a shout out to Cahill's Sports Bar, the pool that I go for my, to play pool, located in beautiful Marietta, Georgia.
My shout-out will go to the one, the only Emily Frazier. And she gets the shout-out because while Matchroom doesn't have a bunch of events going on right now, they actually have none going on right now as far as pool, Matchroom continues to dominate the news cycle when it comes to pool. And we'll talk about all of those things that they have announced in the last couple weeks later on. But it's amazing that some organization can, even in between, you know, their big events, they're still able to get huge headlines out there and really shake up the entire world of pool in a very interesting and unique way. So great work to Emily Frazier and all the work that she and the rest of Matchroom is doing. And with that, we can jump into the podcast. Haha, Rob, I have wine and you don't.
That's okay. I don't need any.
That's true. So since we took off last week for, I guess, my wedding, a couple things have happened since then as far as the Music City Open happened. And this was a tournament that was held in Tennessee. And this had Skylar Woodward going undefeated the entire way through, beating Dennis Orcolo in the finals. Jeffrey DeLuna, name that I haven't actually seen probably since the World Cup of Pool last year. I don't know if I've seen his name since. Am I crazy? Have you guys seen his name around recently?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, okay. Well, good. I feel less crazy now, at least. So fourth place goes to Josh Roberts, who I have been seeing a lot of. And fifth, sixth goes to John Gabriel and BJ Usery. Seventh, eighth goes to Shane McMinn and Josh O'Neill. I didn't watch any of this event because I was too busy sitting on the beach. But did either of you happen to sneak any of this in?
I did not sneak it in. I've been practicing pool for 3 weeks now. So three cushion and pocket pool. That's all I've been doing. Steady.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch this either.
But that's okay, because what we have been watching a lot of is the Derby City Classic. And the Derby City Classic is going on right now. Timestamp, it is 8:30 Central Time on January 30th. So the Banks is now finished up, which we will talk about in a second. One Pocket, they are down to three players. And the nine ball field is underway. So we will talk first about the Banks, which was won by Dennis Arcoyo. Second place goes to Evan Lundy, and third place goes to Billy Thorpe. A bit of an upset, I guess, as far as at the top. I would have thought that either Billy or John Brumback would have won this, but, I mean, there's a ton of players who still bank really, really strong, so I guess it doesn't have to be a huge upset for Dennis or to win, but I do think it's probably a pretty big upset that Evan beats out Billy Thorpe, and then a three-way tie for fourth goes to Omar Al-Shaheen, John Brumback, and Alex Pegulayan. And then there's another three-way tie for seventh, Corey Duell, Shane Van Boning, Joshua Filler. And then there's a four-way tie for 10th, which is Levan Corteza, Jonathan Pinegar, Francisco Bustamante, and Jason Shaw. So, yeah, I would have thought that maybe Billy or John Brumback or maybe even Francisco Bustamante would have probably, I mean, those would have been my three favorites to win this, but, you know, that's the talent of the field.
It's too bad the 10-foot challenge isn't in on this master of the table.
Yeah, it kind of is, right? But it would be really hard for that to be because it's a $1,000 entry fee and right. There's only 16 right. players. So it's hard to incorporate that many people into something that, you know, is 16 players only. Seems to be an unfair advantage, not only to being able to post $1,000 to play, but also to be one of those 16.
It's going to be one of those 16 anyhow, probably.
Jason Shaw won that pretty handily, too.
Yeah.
I did see the final game.
Yeah, that was a little exciting.
Yeah, Hill Hill.
And you know who you are.
Yeah, Hill Hill, and they safe-kicked the one ball around for a while. Then the two got hung in the side, and they messed with that for a couple of shots. And then he Francisco missed a shot.
Yeah.
Hung the nine ball.
Yeah, I almost got to push back on you a little bit there, Eugene. I didn't think it was I didn't think he wanted to handle it at all. I thought Francisco Bustamante, if I'm not mistaken, was up four games on that set, too.
Yeah.
I think he got to the hill with a four-game cushion, and Jason Shaw came back and...
Yeah, he overcut the nine ball up the table.
Yeah.
But he got straight in shape on the eight ball and couldn't move the cue ball right or left. And I tried to move it a little left, didn't get there.
And that's actually a pretty bad miss. And I'm guessing that Francisco would be the first person to tell you that's a pretty...
Oh, bad. He's not going to miss that ball one out of 100.
Well, you as thin as that was going into the corner pocket, you can't overcut that ball because with that new felt, that those rails are going to play extremely slippery when you're hitting on that... When you're hitting on that extreme of a cut shot like that,
yeah, you could hit it way up by the first diamond.
Yeah, you can hit it just inside the first diamond, and it'll still fall with that slippery felt. It won't in probably 5 or 6 days from now, but you know, if he hits that shot on that slippery cloth right then and there, that's going to go if he hits just under the first diamond. So to overcut that ball, that's actually a pretty bad miss for given the table conditions that they had.
Yeah, the his position play on the ball before it was... it was not ideal.
Yeah, and that's where he lost
the straight on the eight ball. I mean, that was a bad roll, getting on that eight ball that straight, I think. And it's always a bad roll when you miss a shape by a quarter of an inch.
Hmm. Yeah, but on those 10-foot tables, you do not have a lot of room for. You think with so much more open space that you kind of are able to miss by a little bit more just because you have so much room to work with. But, you know, when you're shooting on a 10-foot table, those pockets are small compared to that table. You really got to be pretty accurate on pretty much all of your positionings and your pocketing of the balls. Have you ever had the opportunity to play on a 10-footer, either of you?
I have not played on a 9-ball 10-footer, but I've played on a 10-foot snooker table and a 10-foot billiard table.
Yeah, I've actually had the luxury of playing on a 10-foot table before, and you wouldn't think 2 foot makes a huge difference going from a bar box to a big table. But anybody who's done it, I don't care how good of a bar box player you are, if you're going to a big table for the first time, you instantly go down 100 Fargo points. I mean, until you actually play on those things for a little while, I mean,
well, it's only 6 inches on either side, you know, 5 by 10s, but 4.5 by 9.
You wouldn't think it's that big of a difference, but it is really, really, really tough. It really is. When you're shooting from you're shooting corner to corner, you're shooting the ball almost 16 feet. That's a long ways. Mm-hmm. That is a long ways to hit a ball accurately, which is a testament to how actually good these players are. It's crazy.
Did I tell you about the shot I made one time?
I got a feeling you're about to.
Yeah, was at a college pool tournament, and at the end of the night, about 10 o'clock, the tournament was winding down for that day. And the student union that it was in had a carpeted floor. And there was a guy down, 4 tables down from me. And it was a guy who I had played during the day, and I yelled at him. I said, "Hey," from across the room. The room was 5 tables wide, and he was 4 tables down, the long way, 4 tables. And so that's, I don't know, 48 feet, something like that, 50 feet. And I said, "Hey, put a ball down on the floor between the 2 tables, because there were 5 tables, both, there was 10 in a line and 2 at the end. And just put a ball down between the tables down there," I said. "And then take that cup that's on the railing behind you and put it on the floor right between the 2 tables the long way." And I threw a cue ball down, and guess what happened next?
You drill it.
Picture it. Yeah, I shot the ball into the cup. That was from about 50 feet away.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah, and I was drunk.
Impressive.
Well,
a real story. That's a true story.
I think the real...
Everybody laughed. Do it again. I went, "No, you're nuts. Yeah, you're mad. Yeah. I can't do it again."
I think the
way, it'll never happen again.
I think the true talent is whoever laid that floor, because that is a perfectly level floor. That's pretty tough to do.
No, the ball did go fairly straight, and it really did. And it didn't bounce around too much, because I got on the face down on the floor. You know, I'm prone on the floor when I shot. I'm not on my knees or anything. I'm on my stomach. Yeah, it was great.
Bet you can't do that again, which you didn't even try.
No,
smart.
No, I never tried again.
Yeah. So I guess we can move on from both the bank pool and the Bigfoot challenge to the one pocket. And I gave the timestamp earlier because they are actually down to, I believe, 3 players. We are watching this live as it's going on. And the website says that Justin Hall, Billy Thorpe, Roberto Gomez, and Chris Melling are all the last 4. But we are pretty sure.
Justin Hall just won the first game.
Yes. We are pretty sure that Justin Hall just eliminated Chris Melling. So it is down to the last 3 players of Justin Hall currently playing against Roberto Gomez, winning the first game, you just said?
Yeah, Gomez actually beat Chris Melling, and now Justin Hall won the first game against Gomez, 7-1.
Yes, apologies, yes.
Wow. Justin 8-1, I mean.
Roberto beat out Chris Melling, yes, in about 12 minutes.
It did not take long.
Yeah, which I actually called that. Actually, Rob and I talked for about 30 minutes before we actually started this podcast, and at the beginning of it, they were just about to start. I'm like, Roberto will win it, and Roberto will just crush him. And 30 minutes later, he's like, "Yeah, Roberto just won 3-0. So, so I guess I'm looking pretty genius at this point. My wild card for winning the all-around was Billy Thorpe in the beginning. And Billy Thorpe is now in 3rd place for the bank pool. He is now in the top 3 of the one pocket, and he will actually be in the top 2 because one of these players will be eliminated before they get to him. So he will be 3rd in banks and at least 2nd in one pocket, and he is still alive in the 9 ball. So, and he is currently winning the master of the table with a total of 178.8 points. Again, the timestamp is important. 2nd place is Dennis Orcolio with 148.8. So he's got a 30-point cushion over Dennis. So
yeah, that's pretty impressive.
It is, yes. So I get to look like a genius right now, and maybe I'll look like an idiot after this actually finishes out, and maybe Billy doesn't even place in the 9 ball and doesn't win it, and then I just look like a chump for
calling
myself
a self-proclaimed
genius.
You're a lot smarter than you look.
That's something. I'm not sure what to think of that, but I'll take it. I'll take it. So I guess we're at the point in the one pocket where there are three players remaining. Justin Hall and Roberto Gomez are playing for basically the right to play Billy for the chair or for the championship.
That's it. See Billy in the audience on the stream.
Yeah. So who do you guys think is going to win between the last three?
You got to go with Billy, I think, don't you?
I'd take Roberto. I think Roberto's going to win.
Might not beat Justin.
He might not, but I think Roberto...
He just got to the table and just ran two and then gave up the table.
I do think Roberto Gomez is the best one-pocket player remaining. That's just what I think. What do you think, Eugene?
You don't think Billy Thorpe is going to win the one-pocket? He's known to be like a one-pocket player.
He does. He plays good one-pocket.
You know, yeah, and I know, you know, you see, like, in the past at the Roy's Basement matches, you know, where he would show up at the venue, and he's always
a lot of
one-pocket action. So.
I guess time will tell. My pick is Roberto, and you guys are both picking Billy. So we will move on to the nine ball. The nine ball is only about two rounds in, I believe, one or two rounds maybe. So it's not very deep. Do we want to take a stab at who we think might win the nine ball just for kicks and giggles?
This one's a little tougher because it's like nine ball is probably anybody's game, any of these.
Yeah,
you know,
it's definitely not a players. Yeah, it's definitely not a super long race. I will start because why not? And I am going to go out on a limb and I'm going to pick Alex Pegulayan to win this. I don't know why I just pick an Alex Pegulayan. That's my pick.
With Joshua Filler.
Joshua Filler, that's probably a pretty safe bet. He's a pretty good player.
Shane.
You're going to pick Shane, huh?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, why not? It's not like he can't play. So I guess we can wrap up our discussion of the Derby City with that. And next week we will know if we are a bunch of geniuses or if we are a bunch of fools. I'm probably going to pick the latter.
Yeah, I'll just ask my wife. She'll tell me. Fool.
Eugene, do you have that problem too?
Yeah, sometimes.
All right,
Eugene, you're very neutral. You're not afraid somebody might listen to this and you might say something that, and they might get mad at you.
No.
No. Oh, good.
Does she know that you're on a podcast?
Yeah. She's aware.
Is she proud of you?
No. She's kind of indifferent, I guess. You know,
indifferent.
I'm not a good player. So.
She's a pool player?
No, she's not.
No.
Yeah.
No, my wife doesn't play pool either.
Okay, back on topic. So the upcoming events, there's not really much besides obviously the Derby City Classic, which is still going on. And by the time that you hear from us again, it will be concluded. So there's not really much else to talk about besides that. So we will just basically give a plug for that and move on very quickly to the end of the podcast. Okay, so we kind of hinted at the beginning with my shout-out to Emily Frazier of all of the things that are going on with Matchroom, and there has been a ton of announcements over the last basically 2 to 3 weeks. We can start out with, we'll try to take these in chronological order. I think the first announcement that they made was that they're buying the World Championships. Am I wrong in that, Eugene? You always keep me in line.
Yep, the World Nibble Championships now belongs to Matchroom Pool.
And this was in previous years, this was in Qatar, and I'm assuming it will be moved now that Matchroom has it. I don't know to where. I have a couple of ideas, but if there's one thing that Matchroom does not like, it does not like when people make announcements on their behalf before they have the ability to. And I was told a story by somebody who will probably listen to this and got yelled at by Emily. So wink, wink, this is for you. Are there any locations that you guys would like to see this event? It would be kind of cool, I think, to have it in the U.S., but I guess that's somebody from the U.S. saying that.
Yeah, I think although they did not disclose where it's going to be yet, I think they did send out some hints that it's probably not going to be in the U.S. because they have, you know, the big U.S. Open, obviously, you know, that's going to always be in the U.S.
As well as the Moscone Cup every other year as well.
Right, every other year there with the Moscone. So Yeah, and you know, from the other news, like Matchroom Pool, recent expansion into like Saudi Arabia and whatnot. So there's that rumor that I might be in Saudi Arabia. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I actually wouldn't mind seeing it in a city like Singapore either. That is, it's definitely South always
Asia.
Good. Yeah, it's always definitely good to get the Southeastern Asian countries involved. And obviously, there's the kind of the language gap between like the Philippines, Taiwan, China, and the U.S. And I think any time that we could kind of get the Southeastern countries a little bit more involved with westernized pool, which is kind of what Matchroom is. The better opportunity that they're going to have to probably learn English, which is going to better incorporate them into not only the pool scene in general, but kind of incorporate some of their personalities and their culture into our game. And I think anytime that we can get somebody like Nayuki Oi into you know, our culture more, that's what we want. That dude is hilarious.
Yeah, I think it would be it would be pretty good if they would hold it in like the Philippines somewhere. That would be big. That would be huge.
That would be cool as well.
Yeah.
And think of the monsters that could show up. Like the,
right.
The local taxi driver could show up and like run a 7.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
Tyler Steyer told me that story that when he went to the Philippines, his taxi driver basically he gave him a ride to the pool hall, and then he saw him later on in his trip, and he played him some sets, and the taxi driver just robbed him blind.
Wow.
Which is kind of funny.
That is kind of funny.
And this was when Tyler was playing probably shortstop speed, probably like low high 600s, low 700s kind of speed. So not a top player, but you know, kind of on that verge of being shortstop.
Well, where you are?
No, I'm the worst 660 player in the country. We can move on to the second bit of Matchroom news, which is the captain selections for the Moscone Cup. Eugene, would you like to talk about this?
Sure. So you know, I'll start off. So they first announced European team, Alex Lely and Carl Boyes. Carl will be the vice captain or the co-captain. So Marcus Chamat is no longer going to be leading Team Europe in the next Moscone Cup. On the U.S. side, it's going to be Double J, Jeremy Jones, and Jeremy handpicked Joey Gray to assist him in the year-long endeavor of prepping Team USA for December.
And what do you think about, I think the Jeremy Jones one comes as no surprise. I mean, assuming that we were going to lose Johan, I think Jeremy Jones is kind of the obvious pick, right? But I don't think really anybody saw Joey Gray coming, at least not widespread. What do you think of that pick?
Yeah, so I think that came as a big surprise to many. I think even Emily was kind of surprised because on that video, on the off the rail video that she was interviewed in, and you know, she kind of went, you know, she hasn't heard about Joey at all. So, but you know, she respects Jeremy's pick. It is his prerogative to, you know, as team captain to pick whoever he wants as the vice captain. So, yeah. So we'll see. From just what I read about Joey, I just know that he's a well-known pool instructor, coach, and you know he doesn't play as many tournaments anymore, but he's supposedly a pretty good player as well. So
yeah, and that's interesting. Yeah, that was kind of I know who Joey Gray is. He's actually just a little bit older than I am. He's a pretty young guy. And he's especially good one pocket player. I mean, he's kind of in that kind of the Josh Roberts, Evan Lunda kind of a frame of being, you know, younger, real good one pocket player, very smart, very cerebral player. But kind of like you, I haven't seen his name around too much, especially the bigger tournaments. You know, you'll see him in the local, kind of like the local tournaments around his area, and you'll see his name around then. But I hadn't seen him compete widespread for a while, and that was kind of a surprise to me just to see his name for probably the first time in almost a year being picked for this. I don't necessarily think it's a bad move. I guess I was just more or less surprised from it. From what I know of Joey Gray, he's a very smart, very cerebral player, and you know, who knows? Maybe he's a great pick, and you know, that's kind of the way that's going in the NFL now. Is they kind of like younger, more exciting picks for their head coaches. Maybe this is something that they could do in the pool scene too, and maybe it'll go over well. So, what did you think about the European side of things?
I think it's a good choice. I mean, Alex Carl, of course, he's been in, he's played in Team Europe.
Yeah, 3 years, and he was lobbying. Yeah, right? 3 years, he was lobbying hard to get the coach. He wanted to be a coach so badly. Some of the stuff he was posting on Facebook.
Some of the funny, funny Facebook stuff that he posted and tagged Emily, I believe.
It was pretty funny stuff.
Yeah, but Alex Lely kind of has a, I guess he has a mixed record competing against USA. I think it's like one win and one loss. So he's probably pretty fired up.
Yeah, it's
to make it a winning record.
It's kind of interesting, right? Because after you kind of take, and I don't ever necessarily think that Marcus was a great choice, especially in like the new age pool, because he's kind of goofy. He's kind of like, he likes to wear his, you know, his Napoleon hat, and he kind of makes it a show, and he's a little goofy, and that's fine. Especially if you're winning, it's fine. But the new age that Matchroom is trying to push now, they're trying to be serious. They're trying to make this a sport. They're trying to make this competitive. And I think Marcus was kind of outliving his stay a little bit with the type of personality that he brings to Team Europe. As far as Alex, I don't know a ton about him. He was a little bit before my time. Not necessarily, I mean, as far as like my strong paying attention to the Moscone Cup, he was a little bit before it. Carl, I do think that's a good pick, but I'm kind of thinking towards who could have been a better option, not as a vice coach, because I think Carl's a great choice for it. But I would have liked to almost see maybe like a Ralph Suquet or a Mika Eminen, actually. And I know that they both still compete, and they both still compete at a very, very high level. So I don't want to like try to insult them saying, hey, you're not worthy of playing anymore. But as far as been there, done that, those two are number one and number two in Europe and all time as far as the most amount of occurrences in the actual Moscone Cup itself. I think that one of those two, if not maybe even both of them, would have been a great addition to kind of bringing into the next few iterations of what the Moscone Cup is.
Yeah, and you know, just listeners, if you guys haven't listened to that Moscone Cup Off the Rails interview, I would suggest to search on Facebook, and or maybe it's on YouTube as well.
Well, why don't we actually just post that to the page and make it easy for them if they want to see it?
Oh yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, so we'll do that after this podcast.
Yeah, and you know, Emily, you know, shared the same sentiment. You know, in that they kind of want to bring the whole atmosphere of Moscone Cup, you know, to be more kind of like a competitive boxing of sorts. You know, where there's you know, a good rivalry. You know, some trash talking perhaps. You know, but something more intense, so to speak.
For sure.
And Paul just won.
Wow. So there's our update. Justin Hall beats Roberto Gomez, and they're down to the final two. Justin Hall versus Billy Thorpe. So then with that, we can move on to the last bit of Matchroom news, which is Matchroom releases its own rankings. And before I get into the rankings themselves, they are basing them off of actual finishes in tournaments. So it's not based off of Fargo. It's not based off of any sort of rankings that are already in place. It is only built off of where players finish throughout the season in their events and other events. So with that, the rankings from 1 to 10 are Fedor Gorst, Ko-Ping Chung, Chang Jung Lin, Jason Shaw, Mac Leishner, Alex Pagulayan, Joshua Filler, Alexander Kazakis, Francisco Sanchez Ruiz, and Lau Haitao. Those are 1 through 10. And when these were announced, of course, everybody in the U.S. just rips them apart. And a lot of that is because, well, we're America. We're really special. You need to treat us like we're special. And I'm not trying to offend any of the Americans out there. They're predominantly the listener base of this podcast, and I appreciate that. But you got to take a step back sometimes and really, you know, we really do think we're super special, and that's fine. But this is the way that they decided to do their rankings. And, of course, Facebook just went on fire. How can you keep Sky Woodward off of it? How can you keep Shane Van Boning off of it? And that's the fun part about the, you know, taking all subjectivity out of it, is you just let the results in the tournament speak for themselves. I'm just giving kind of their side of the story here. So I'll give my actual opinion after this. But what do you think of it, Eugene?
Yeah, you know what I really want to know is what's going to happen to the WPA. I mean, they've, you know, now that they lost the World Nine Ball Championship, I mean, they have their own ranking, so who is even going to look at that these days after this?
Well, the fact that you, I mean, just cut, not trying to cut you off, but can you name the WPA world number one right now? Because I can't.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually don't know.
Is it also?
I think it might be Filler. I think it might be Filler. But I mean, if you told me I was wrong, I'd be like, okay. I mean, I honestly don't know.
Right.
I think the WPA. I mean, they still have the Predator. They still have the Predator Open tournament. I can't think of too many other events that they have now that they don't have the World Nine Ball anymore.
Let me see. I'm doing a quick look up here on the web. Their ranking right now, men's ranking number one is actually Koping Chung of Taiwan.
Koping Chung, who is the world number two on this.
Filler is second.
Yeah, okay. So
Filler is second, and then our Shane is number three.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be, I mean, WPA definitely does not have the marketing capabilities or the prowess, maybe I should say, of Matchroom. And I think that's especially prevalent when you start, you know, when Matchroom releases these rankings and all of Facebook goes crazy for like 48 hours talking about all the goods and the bads of what this actual ranking system means and what it doesn't mean and whether it's credible and whether it's not credible. Regardless, Matchroom got what they want. People are talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
I think, you know, most of the reaction is positive, you know. People are giving them, you know, virtual high fives and thanking them for, you know, for being so proactive and investing so much dollars, you know, in the whole game.
Yeah, they're definitely walking the walk as well. Rob, what do you think about some of these rankings?
Yeah, I think they're pretty accurate. All in all, I don't have a problem with them. You know, you look at pool three-cushion billiards in the United States. And if you were to take the rankings worldwide and place the best players, say the best two players in the United States, where would they fit in that overall picture? Well, they wouldn't be in the top 20. That's my guess. And I don't know what the world rankings are for three-cushion, but I'm thinking the top 20 in the world. There's no players from the USA in that.
Yeah, it's definitely hard because obviously we're mostly exposed to the U.S. players, right? Because we're mostly paying attention to the U.S. events. We pay attention to the other big ones like the World Cup of Pool. And if you look at the World Cup of Pool, well, the U.S. was out in round two. Okay, that's fine. Then you look at the World Pool Masters. Sky Woodward made a tied for third place finish. That's pretty good. Shane finished, what did he finish? Tied fifth through eighth. That's not bad. I mean, that's still pretty good. And then you take, you know, the U.S. Open. Well, the U.S. Open only had one American in the final 32. Or did they have – no, they just had one in the final 32, right? And it was Shane Van Boning. And he lost that round of 32 match. So there were zero Americans in the final 16. Well, this is a list of 10 players, and there's no Americans. So, I mean, it's a small sample size, right? So we don't know a ton about the actual places. But then you can, you know, look at a player like Jason Shaw, who's ranked fourth in this. And, I mean, Jason Shaw, especially tournament play, he has been winning just about everything since the International Open, right? And actually, the tournament before the International Open, I'm blanking on what that tournament was now, but he won the one, but the tournament before the International Open as well, and he's been winning probably 50% of his tournaments since. He's just been crushing it. Do you remember the tournament before the International Open by chance, Eugene?
No, I don't.
Yeah, it was a smaller kind of local U.S. one, I think, but regardless, I mean, I don't know. It's I don't see why you would have to have an American on here at this point, besides the fact that Jason Shaw just got beat by Shane, a big race recently. You could make that argument, and you'd probably win that argument from there. But there is definitely a difference between – I think this is a tournament ranking system and not a gambling ranking system. They're definitely different games, especially when you're playing a race to 100 as opposed to a race to 7 or 8 or 9 or whatever it is. It's – they're different rankings. They're definitely different rankings.
I mean, it's still, this is still early, right? So
yeah.
They just released it. So, you know, there's still many.
Yeah, there are definitely only
on the calendar. Yeah.
There's only a couple of events that this has all been based off of. And they were, I guess, the International Open, the World Nine Ball Championships, the Diamond Las Vegas Open, the Predator World 10 Ball, the WPA Players Championship, the U.S. Open Nine Ball, the Turning Stone Classic, the Kremlin Cup, and the World Nine Ball Championships. So,
right.
I mean, those were what this was based on. So, yeah. I mean, if you had to pick a player that you don't see on here that you think should be on here, who might that be?
In the top 10? Or?
Yeah. I personally think that you could probably safely remove Alex Pagulayan at this point and replace him with a player like Wu Cha-ching, maybe.
Okay.
I think you don't see a lot of Wu Cha-ching as far as playing in a lot of big events, but every time you see him, he seems to win it or, you know, place top four. The dude is just, I mean, he just plays so lights out.
Yeah, there's, I mean, even Dennis Okuyo, he's ranked 23rd on this list.
Rob, is there anybody that you could see being on here that isn't?
Oh, if I thought about it long enough, yeah, probably half a dozen anyhow. I mean, these guys are really close in skill.
Yeah, they are.
You know, take the top, even like the top 50 maybe in the world. I mean, really, on any given day, any given game, anybody can beat anybody in that top 50, seriously.
Yeah.
And there's now this Jesus. I watched him play Demijelaitis in that match. He beat, I mean, the guy plays as good as Fuller. I mean, seriously, this guy, this Jesus can play.
Over the course of one match, yeah.
He's a shot maker. I mean, he played good. They were talking about how good his break was, but I didn't think his break was very good at all. But, I mean, the cue ball was all over the place. And he made a ball, make a lot of balls, but
yeah.
But he was definitely, he could pocket just about anything and very, very confident. Yeah, I like this play.
Yeah, and Demetrius is so I actually contacted him. He was wearing a Cue It Up T-shirt on the AccuStats live stream.
Yes,
which
was he
pretty
was.
Cool,
a black and white Cue It Up T-shirt.
Yes, sir.
Bring it on, baby.
So I actually contacted him after that match and asked him if he wanted to come on to the podcast today. He respectfully declined this week, but he said going forward he is planning on being on every single one of the podcasts going forward that he can be on anyway. So. Every
yeah.
week he's going to try his best to be on. So he will be coming onto the podcast as an expert commentator on what to look for in events, what to look for in gambling matches, what he looks for when he's assessing players and assessing tournaments and matchups. And he's basically going to be our expert on the ground when it comes to breaking down matches. So I personally am really excited for that. So I think it's going to add a good twist to the podcast that we haven't had because we're all a bunch of schmucks who can barely play at all. It'll be nice to actually have somebody who knows what they're talking about around here. Ain't that right, Eugene?
Awesome. Yeah. It's going to be cool. I definitely can't play.
Either can Rob or I, but we like to act like we can. Right, Rob?
Hey, I made a billiard today that was just out of this world.
Can I have your autograph?
Yeah, the next time we get together and then I whoop you, then you can.
Yeah, Rob's been smack-talking me after taking the thumping last time. He says he's been practicing so that when he comes down again, he's only going to get beat half as bad as he did before.
Well, that's not exactly what I said.
Yeah, but
and you can't use a jump cue.
No, that is no.
I'm too old and short, so that field is not even at that point. You have a very big advantage being a young, tall guy. You jump like a pro.
That's so sweet of you.
As good as any pro I've ever seen jump the ball. You're that good at it.
That's so sweet of you, Rob.
Well, I'm just being honest. I'm not stroking you. Sounds like I'm stroking you, but I'm not.
That's so sweet.
I'm just stating a very simple fact.
It's all from my sweet Dick Davis jump cue. It is jumps itself. Anybody in the Madison area, he won't make you one because he hates making them, but just hound him until he makes you one. You will not regret it. Oh, my God, are they good. Anybody in the Madison area, you got to get yourself one. So I guess we can move on from that now, and we can kind of wrap this up. I guess I will thank a sponsor, because I always try to do that. And I will thank Jeff Glaza this week. Jeff Glaza has been the second sponsor for the podcast, and he does the CBD for Life Global. I've never tried CBD, although he did send me a trial of it, and I figured I would try it out at some point in time. I still haven't, but I do have a trial of it. Maybe if I ever want to try it. But if CBD is your game and it is something that you like to partake in, he does have some really high quality stuff. So if ever you're interested, head over to the Wisconsin Only Podcasts, and his advertisement is on there with all of the information you need. And you can support the people who help make the podcast happen, which is Jeff and all the other sponsors. So
he just got his eyes fixed.
He did. He just had LASIK, yeah. Right?
Him and Brandon Jacoby, they went over together, did the buddy system in case one of them couldn't see when they left. Right. The other one could help them home.
Yeah. So with that, Eugene, I don't think I can thank you enough for all of the work that you do for the podcast itself as far as the social media stuff. Again, I can't say it enough. I am an idiot. I don't know how to do marketing. I don't know how to do social media. All of the social media posts are always Eugene. That's why they're so thoughtful. If Rob and I did them, it would be boring and we would suck and we'd probably just explode. So we need Eugene to be the smart guy around here. So thank you so much for that. And thank you for joining us this week.
Thanks, Eugene.
Thanks for the kind words. I've enjoyed it and I hope the readers enjoy it as well.
Yes. And if you think the posts are good, his website is so much better. He has amazing articles over there. So go over and check out his website, and it is thequest.net, and you put that on all of your posts, so it's easy. You can just go to Facebook, find one of his posts that are amazing, and then click on thequest.net and head over there and check it all out. And you may or may not be getting swag soon if you really like the website. Am I wrong in saying that?
It's still in the plan, so.
Yes.
Looking into it.
So yeah. If you've been over to the Qist website and you like any of his stuff and you want to help support him, because he does all that stuff for free as well. We're not the only schmucks that do a bunch of free labor. He does too. Hopefully soon you'll have some t-shirts and some other swag available that if anybody likes your stuff, they can help support you and buy a t-shirt.
Yep. Definitely stay tuned for that.
Yep. And with that, we can sign off for another week. Rob, Eugene, thanks again so much for joining me.
Adios, buddy.
Thank you.
See you, pool players, next time. Thanks for coming to my party. Now that we're all wrapped broke, it's time to go home.
Hey, everyone. Thanks again for listening. If you like what you've heard and you listen through iTunes, please subscribe and leave a rating. It helps others find the podcast. As always, thank you to our sponsors, Jacoby Custom Cues, Cody's Q Therapy, Jeff Glaz's CBD for Life Global, the Wisconsin Billiards Hall of Fame, the Rocks Sports Bar and Grill, the IQ Practice Cue Ball, and the Wisconsin Pool Player Society. If you like what you hear, consider supporting the people who support the podcast. I would also like to take this time to thank Matt Kitzman, Robert Miller, Natasha, Kurt Elliott, Scott Doolian, Corey Smith, William Sutherland, and Mike Teasy for their help to market the podcast to a larger audience. Lastly, I would like to thank my cousin Andrew Mindum for his band Hey Captain Knight's music as segment and filler music to the podcast. If you like what you hear, you can find all of his music at heycaptainknight.bandcamp.com. And Knight is K-N-I-G-H-T.